From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. An expected landslide in Myanmar elections. Myanmar democracy icon Aung San Suu Kyi says her party appears to have won Sunday's parliamentary elections. Election officials have been counting as many as 32 million votes cast in the polling. This is Myanmar's first election since the nominally civilian government was established in 2011, following years of military rule. European tourists are leaving the Egyptian resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh by the thousands following the October 31st Russian airline disaster that killed all 224 people on board. Islamic State affiliates claimed responsibility for the attack. Airport safety expert Todd Curtis of airsafe.com website says that all of this has brought airport safety into the spotlight.
You have several governments, among them the UK, the US, and Russia, stating that they believe that there was a bomb that was placed on board the aircraft. Now, to the best of my knowledge, none of these entities have stated whether the bomb was placed by airport staff or by a passenger or by a third party. But regardless, the suspicion that this airport had a situation where a bomb was placed on board the aircraft will at the very least call into question the security procedures for that airport. And in a broader sense, this airport is very representative of most airports around the world.
The crash of the Russian plane prompted some air carriers to curb or cut flights to Sharm el-Sheikh. A Jordanian military officer shot dead two Americans and a South African before killing himself on Monday at a police training center outside of Amman. Security sources said the Jordanian also wounded at least two other people at the site on the eastern side of Jordan's capital. The U.S. and Jordan signed an agreement in 2004 to set up the facility in order to train police officers from neighboring Iraq. This is VOA News. France has requested a UN Security Council meeting today to discuss the deteriorating security situation in Burundi. Saturday, the U.S. expressed grave concern over the political and security situation and condemned the killing of the son of a rights activist. Late Saturday, nine people were executed by unknown gunmen in the capital of Bujumbura. Security forces launched a crackdown in a search for illegal weapons. In the latest incident of violence, Israeli authorities say a Palestinian rammed his car into a group of Israelis at a bus stop in the West Bank on Sunday, wounding at least four people before police in Israel opened fire and killed the assailant. Elbira is a Palestinian protester on the West Bank, saying, "The uprising has begun. We need the factions to step in and give us weapons. Stones are not enough." Two other Israelis were hurt in separate incidents on Sunday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington for meetings today with President Obama. Russell Stone, the former director of American University's Center for Israel Studies, speaks with VOA about today's meeting and the personal relationship between the two leaders.
The personal relationship has always been a testy one. At best, mistrust, and at worst, suspicion of the motives of each other. And it will be interesting to see if they can succeed in putting forth a public persona of at least cordiality.
Prime Minister Netanyahu angered President Obama by coming to Washington in March this year without his invitation or approval in an attempt to get the U.S. Congress to reject the Iran nuclear deal. Also, the Obama administration has made no secret of its frustration about Israel stalling on the two-state solution. Croatia's conservative opposition has won the most seats in the country's parliamentary elections, but not enough to govern on its own. Cheering from members of the Croatian Democratic Union, which has won 59 seats in Sunday's parliamentary polling, the ruling Social Democrats carrying 56 seats. A new party called Most is running third with 19 seats in the 151-member legislature. Candidates running in Uganda's February presidential election officially began their campaigning on Monday, while Human Rights Watch called on the government to ensure a level playing field for everyone. Uganda's Electoral Commission approved a list of eight candidates, including President Yoweri Museveni's bid for a fifth term and opposition leader Kizza Besigye's fourth attempt to knock the president from power. Human Rights Watch issued a statement late Sunday saying police brutality, obstruction of media, and a lack of accountability have undermined the process of free and fair elections in Uganda. Joe Palca, reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.